traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
After a week away, Clemson football is back on Saturday as the Tigers travel to Chapel Hill to take on the North Carolina Tar Heels. And we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar, starting at 6 a.m. with the Ingles Tiger pregame show, Tiger tailgate show at 9 a.m. with Faxon and crew. Then at noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the game, and Donnell Clark and I will take you through postgame with the fifth quarter show, all in a day's work on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
The Roar, better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar.
You know who else doesn't know who's going to win the SEC, Ben?
Who's
any
that?
Sports book. There's like different favorites ever. I was trying to look some of that up during the break. There's different favorites everywhere. I want to get to that in just a second. First, let me tell you about PhD Weight Loss. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team, they do a great job. She is very active on Instagram, trying to give little tips and tidbits for how to operate in maintenance and how to sort of start your weight loss journey. The best way to do it is to go get a consultation from PhD Weight Loss. If you want to lose 20 pounds by the new year, PhD can help you with that, no question about it. And right now, with their metabolic reset system that gets you burning fat and not sugar and not that precious muscle mass, they're going to waive your consultation fee, get 2 extra weeks of the program for free. They're going to cover the cost of your food during the program. And if you book now, you'll receive their 5 steps to reset the scale book absolutely free. This is a great, great bargain. But don't wait. This guarantee and bonus package is only for the next 25 callers this month. So call 864-644-1900 now and mention code New Year. That's 864-644-1900. Do it now with PhD Weight Loss. Reset your metabolism, lose the weight, and keep it off.
Someone on Twitter points out, and I know I'm skipping around here, but we were talking about Penn State earlier. Points out Penn State's ranked 7th in the nation without a single FBS win. And we're on week 5. We're actually on week 6. How is that? But yet, I think they belong there. How is that possible, though? The 7th team in the nation doesn't have an FBS win, and we're going into week 6.
Do you feel like they are 7, or should we ding them for that? At least for now. Like, we can put them back if they deserve it.
You know what? Somebody's got to be there. Yeah, I haven't even looked at the polls.
Because here's what I'm thinking. Like, is Indiana – do we think Indiana's better than Penn State?
See, here's the thing. I don't know that they're not.
That's a good way to say it.
I don't know that they're not. And I did not expect to see that, to feel that way. Now, these next 3 games, Penn State's probably going to blow the doors off of their FBS opponents at UCLA, Northwestern, and at Iowa. Then they go to Ohio State. And after that, they have Indiana at home. I don't think they're winning at Ohio State. And right now, I'm not positive they're beating Indiana. And if that's the case, they're out of it. And right now, heck, I mean, if they lose to Ohio State, they're most likely not playing for the Big Ten championship.
That's right. Yeah, they.
I mean, that's tough.
They've got an uphill climb at this point. They really needed to win that. They really need to win that game Saturday.
And you certainly can't lose to Indiana. Too. In my heart of hearts, I think they're going to beat Indiana. I mean, that game is in Happy Valley, but still, like, it is anything but a guarantee. They're even making the playoffs right now. Yet, I do think they're a top 10 team.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I wouldn't have Indiana ahead of them right now. I wouldn't have Texas ahead of them. What has Texas done? I wouldn't have Alabama ahead of them. By the way, I've heard so many people say, well, Florida State beat Alabama, they should still be ahead of them in the rankings.
No, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Alabama has the second best win in the country right now. The best win is Oregon. The second best win to me is at Georgia. And the third best win is Ohio State beating Texas at home. Though, to me, those would be the three best wins in that order.
I think Ohio State winning at Washington is up there too.
I think it is
somewhere.
Too. I think it is. I think Washington's really good. I think the fact that Ohio State made Washington look pedestrian is a tremendous feat.
It's something we should not ignore.
Correct. Correct. Can I go back to the quarterback conversation about Stockton and Simpson? I thought Gunnar Stockton played better than his stat line, kind of to your point. It was not the – I've used the word pants several times. It was not the pantsing of Moore greater than Aller, where Dante Moore was supremely better than Drew Aller for the most part of the game. Although, the one throw Aller made at the end, the touchdown, was that a wheel route or something that he threw?
Mm-hmm.
That was like dead in the – I mean, that would have hit a bullseye on a dartboard for 40
yards.
It'd be
hard not to catch that ball.
I mean, it like, was...
Just close your eyes and hold your hands out, and I'm going to lay the ball right in your hands.
I know some people that would make it challenging. I don't want to talk about that too much today. But you're right. Stockton, to me, he needed to make a couple more plays to win the game. And that's where I thought it was peculiar that Georgia went for it on fourth down and a yard and a half in field goal range, down by three in the fourth quarter of a game where there had not been points scored. I am of the opinion, and this is not an opinion shared by all. It may not be an opinion shared by many. I think at any given moment of a football game, if you have a chance to tie the game that moment, that you do it. You tie the game. Particularly in the second half. Like, I'm a proponent of chasing points. Like, if you're down 14-6 and you score, I think it is so annoying to kick the extra point and be down by one. Even if it's in the second quarter. Now, again, if you want to disagree with that, that's fine. But in that moment, I thought there was legitimate benefit and legitimate value to Georgia kicking the field goal. And yet, not only, Ben, did they not kick the field goal, but they ran hurry up with a yard and a half to go. And they didn't even really, like, they didn't give Alabama a chance, but Alabama just played run defense. They just swarmed Georgia. And you've got your third down back in the game, Cash Jones. I did not understand the call to go for it. And if you were going to go for it, I didn't understand not having somebody like, I don't know, Chauncey Bowens, who's averaging 9.9 yards a carry in the game. That's kind of where I'm talking about Kirby. Like, Kirby does not make game management blunders like that. To me, that was about, I don't know if you disagree with that, Ben. I thought it was a blunder. I thought for sure, particularly a defensive background, you kick the field goal, you take points there, you tie the game, you've been getting off the field, get off the field one more time, we'll kick a field goal and win it.
Yeah.
And they just, I didn't understand why they didn't do that.
Yeah, when points have been a premium and you have an opportunity to tie, then I would have done that. You were just talking about, I can't remember who it was, some quarterback. Who were you talking about making such a great throw?
Aller at the end of the Penn State game. And you were talking about one during the break that Stockton made.
I think the jury's still out on Gunnar Stockton, but he made a pass to Branch. I think it was to Branch there towards the end of the game. Like 25 yards, something like that, where he just rears back everything he's got. It was one of those, like, had the velocity that you stop it. Wait a minute. Whoa, what just happened there? One of the few times that I rewind just to watch a pass.
It was on 3rd and 11. He's backed up in the red zone and just rifles that sucker in there. I think double coverage.
But he threw it high, and Branch goes up and gets it.
Texter says this, guys, Bobo, where are y'all with him objectively? I think, listen, Mike Bobo's been, it's like when Georgia fans have a baby, the baby comes out ripping Mike Bobo. Like, it's been a thing for 20 years at Georgia, okay? Show me the call he made that was wrong. Show me how he coordinated this offense that led to the loss. They weren't on the field. The defense gave up 12 third downs. That was the more concerning side of the ball to me. I know they didn't move it great, but we're seeing the benefit of Alabama having Tim Keenan, for example.
Yeah, Alabama had the ball 11 minutes more than Georgia did.
I mean, I truly don't know what Georgia fans want from Mike Bobo outside of what he gave you in this game. They ran for 227. Haven't run it in 2 years. They ran it for 227 yards in
the
game.
I'll give you one thing. Some of his third down calls were suspect. I mean, and they were 2 of 8 on third down.
I'll give you that.
That's one area that do better there.
They outgained Georgia by 1.5 yards, or Alabama by 1.5 yards per play. I mean, his quarterback wasn't great, but it wasn't a losing performance. And like I say, they ran the ball. I thought they got creative in the run game. Bell has a 43-yard run. You got Frazier involved. Now, again, I think more Bowens, less Frazier, because Bowens doesn't fumble the ball every fifth carry. Stockton uses legs a little bit. I watched the vast majority of this game, and I had no issue with Mike Bobo's play calling. I had no issue with the scheme. And to me, the fourth and a yard and a half, they're going fast. I'm not sure if that's a Bobo call or a Kirby call there, but to me, it's Kirby's. Kirby's the one that needs to call timeout and get short yardage personnel on the field, or he needs to get that field goal unit out there. Maybe I should give Bobo more blame on that. I don't necessarily give Bobo as much blame on that. Let's go to Darren and Pickens, and we'll get Greg in as well on the phones in this segment. What's up, Darren?
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you again.
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought I'd go ahead and call in today because I'm getting busy packing for my Israel trip Thursday, so probably going to be focusing on that. I called in last week, told you the Air Force was going to win against Hawaii. Well, I got that wrong.
Yeah, you and Ben are both mad about that one. Hawaii had a big win over the Academy this weekend.
I know you guys, when you saw the score, you had to think about me, though, didn't you?
I did.
Well, I tell you what, though. It was a pretty decent game. It was 44-35. Hawaii won, but I did not know Timmy Chang was their head coach for Hawaii.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So I don't know how long he's been there, but they seem to be doing pretty good this year.
Yeah, I think this is his third year. I think that's right. I think it's third. This is the best team that he's had, I think. We'll see at the end of Mountain West play.
Yeah, he's doing a pretty good job. But, you know, Air Force has scored, I believe, over 100 points in their last three games. So they're scoring. The only problem is they can't stop nobody.
Yeah, listen, and if you're at an academy, you better be able to get off the field because you're not going to have a lot of possessions. That is true.
That's right. Well, and to defend the academies and the Army and the Navy's football teams, you know, they don't do transfer portals.
Right.
You know, you make a commitment to stay there. You're pretty much there unless you just say, hey, I'm done with the military. I'm out. But so I think they do quite well considering, you know, all that information too. But anyway, I thought I'd go ahead and throw down a pick for Clemson and North Carolina for Saturday. I think Clemson's going to roll over them pretty good, 38-10 or something.
Oof.
And, I mean, North Carolina to me just looks absolutely horrendous. But I think they're going to let loose on them. But for two Saturdays ahead, I'm going to go ahead and pick LSU like 37-17 over South Carolina. I won't be able to call in and make those picks, so I thought I'd say it now.
Well, Darren, hey, we appreciate it very much. I'm going to try to squeeze one more in, Darren. Be safe in Israel.
Be safe there. And I'm not sure LSU can score 37 points right now.
We might need to get into that game a little bit because we talked about Ole Miss, but there
we got time.
We got time. Let's go to Greg, who's up with us next on the phones. What's up, Greg?
How are you?
Doing good, man. Hope you're doing well.
The drive you were talking about where Gunner threw the ball to Branch, that same drive Georgia ended up first down around midfield, moving the ball good, running. And then Bobo throws, calls three screens in a row. And then we have to punt. Bobo tends to do stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, and like I say, I didn't have a problem with it, with the way he called the game, but at the same time, like I don't think Mike Bobo's reinventing offense. So I will say that, like I'm not a full-throated defender of Mike Bobo, Greg, but because I do appreciate that, but I don't think that Bobo's play calling is what cost Georgia the game. I actually thought he did a pretty good job for the most part in the game of putting Georgia in position to win the game.
That's just a matter of opinion. I'm sorry. I've watched Georgia all my life. It seems like when you play in a lesser team, stuff like that doesn't matter. But when you're playing in a game that matters and drives count, just having a dumb play series call just kills you.
I agree. I'm with you on that, Greg. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I'm 100% agreeing with that. And when you contrast that with Alabama and Kalen DeBoer / Ryan Grubb, I do think it's fair to say that Mike Bobo was the second-best offensive coordinator in his game. I don't know. I feel like there are other times where you can be really critical of Mike Bobo, like really critical. And I just had him. I wasn't critical of him in the Tennessee game. And I'm not critical here because, what'd you say, 11-minute difference, time of possession, Ben?
Yeah, 11 minutes.
11 minutes and 24 plays that Alabama has that Georgia didn't. And so if Georgia's defense can get off the field, maybe there's a little better rhythm offensively. Just some dumb penalties, too. That's a jumping on the pile penalty. I mean, just
– That was a horrible, horrible penalty. Give him a first down, keep that going. Jumping on the pile. Six penalties for 68 yards, and they all seem like they happened at the worst absolute time.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more college football talk. After this, don't go anywhere.
Don't miss out on this week's specials at Buff City Soap. With products for everyone, corporate gifts, pet products, laundry soap, seasonal scents, and more. Follow Buff City Soap Clemson and Buff City Soap Greenville on Facebook and Instagram for the latest sales and updates.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantee stands strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Lennox in the air means money in your pocket. Turn to Heavenly Air of the Upstate LLC for special offers happening today that will put high-quality Lennox air in your home and savings back in your pocket. For a limited time, they're offering up to $1,800 in rebates on a brand-new Lennox system. Or qualified buyers make no payments, incur no interest for 12 months when financing a new Lennox system. Plus, receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Visit heavenlyaire.com today. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number RHB587.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the Actually Really Seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Time to take your lawn to school with Grass Nerds, your local lawn care experts. Our tailored programs cater to all grass types, ensuring your lawn stands out in the class of its own. From weed control and fertilization to soil sample analysis, let the nerds be your grass professors. If you're tired of battling weeds and want to enjoy a beautiful lawn without the hassle, allow Grass Nerds to take the guesswork out of the grasswork, where every lawn graduates with honors. Enroll today at grassnerds.com.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
You know that thing called AI, supposed to make the workplace super efficient? Well, there's something better. DI, Delicious Intelligence. It's tech that helps make work efficient and yummy. Leading the DI revolution, Easy Cater, a workplace food platform that connects you to tons of favorite restaurants with tools to save time and stay on budget. Need tacos for 20? Falafel for 40? A variety of vegan breakfast sandwiches? Now that's a tasty prompt. Join the DI revolution. Order now at easycater.com. You know that thing called AI, supposed to make the workplace super efficient? Well, there's something better. DI, Delicious Intelligence. It's tech that helps make work efficient and yummy. Leading the DI revolution, Easy Cater, a workplace food platform that connects you to tons of favorite restaurants with tools to save time and stay on budget. Need tacos for 20? Falafel for 40? A variety of vegan breakfast sandwiches? Now that's a tasty prompt. Join the DI revolution. Order now at easycater.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for sports talk.
It entertains me. I enjoy listening on the way home.
105.5 and 97.5 FM. We are The Roar.
Ben, it was looking bleak, much like the American Ryder Cup team, much like Penn State in the fourth quarter. My bank account was getting drained on Underdog. It was getting drained. I threw up a Hail Mary at the end of Sunday Night Football last night. Cashed it, baby. Two plays. I appreciate overtime for getting it done because I needed a Brandon Aubrey field goal to bring it home, and we got that, but it took us overtime. So I appreciate that. Some bad plays, then a couple really good ones. You can enjoy Underdog that way, folks, on a Saturday, on a Sunday. I'm going to be playing Underdog all day with the Major League Baseball playoffs tomorrow. That's exciting stuff. And right now, here's what you do. This is how you enjoy Underdog right now. You download the Underdog app. You sign up with a promo code OOB. They are giving you $100. When you make your first deposit, when you play your first $5. That's unbelievable. $100 when you play your first $5. Again, they are giving this money away, folks. Just giving it away. Underdog, ladies and gentlemen, the best place to play anywhere in terms of daily fantasy. That is Underdog Fantasy. Millions have won billions. Making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks. Win money. Must be 18 plus present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See access.underdogfantasy.com/web. /playing, get terms underscore DFS underscore dot HTML for details. Get terms with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER, visit ncpgambling.org. A couple other things on the college football slate that really caught my attention this week. There were a lot. I mean, I watched a lot of games this weekend. I was able to get eyes on a bunch of these games. We've talked about a lot of them. The LSU-Ole Miss game. We talked about Ole Miss a little bit. We talked about LSU, and I said I was 1 foot out on LSU. Do you know, I actually think LSU is a fine football team. I just think they are, Brian Kelly said they're struggling to play complementary football. And I swear, I've just had some flashbacks to some Saturdays and Tuesdays around here. They're struggling to play complementary football. Ben, I have no idea why LSU can't throw for 200 yards. Arkansas moved it at will against Ole Miss. Teams are moving it at will against Ole Miss. And LSU could not move the ball at all. They couldn't run it at all. And I listen, I know that they had an injury at running back. I know that. But when you have a Heisman Trophy contender, we're told, and a number one NFL draft pick contender, we're told, at quarterback, 21 of 34 for 197 is not good enough. Like, Ole Miss was good. Trinidad Chambliss was good. But they were not, like, world-beating offense. They were not just, like, it was not like a watching a 4x400 relay where Ole Miss is outlasting LSU offensively. It was kind of an ugly game to some degree.
I don't see, I kind of looked at that differently. And I have to fight my bias against Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. I kind of thought their offense did look that way, Quark. I did not want to feel that way. But number one, I was impressed with the way they spread it around offensively in the targets. Chambliss was very good. Lacey gives them an adequate running game. You know, that maybe is one of the more surprising things to me about Kiffin is he really does want to run the ball.
They forced it.
Now, Arkansas is going to be the pushback to everything I say about Ole Miss, but Quark, I kind of think they're better on defense than we give them credit for. And that's been maybe the downfall for Ole Miss in the past. So that's why I'm sort of trending up on Ole Miss now for the first time. You know, I've always kind of put them in that category that, yeah, they're going to win a bunch of games, but they're going to have those two stinkers. I mean, I feel like they can come at you a number of ways, and defense is good enough to keep you in a game like it did Saturday when maybe your offense is not completely clicking. And here's the other thing, too. And listen, Kiffin rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But when you think about the way that guy plugs and plays players and doesn't seem to miss a beat, how many offenses right now do you look around that are struggling to find that rhythm and the complementary football? You know, well documented about Clemson. LSU certainly facing that. I think Penn State's facing that a little bit. Right, they definitely are facing that. Maybe Georgia a little bit. Lane doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to matter who the person, where the personnel came from, or how long they've been there. They get to Ole Miss and they just click. And I got to start giving him more credit for making that happen.
I think because it happened so seamlessly, maybe it's yes. Not being talked about. The Trinidad Chambliss thing, to your point, how many starting quarterbacks have struggled? And, like, there are fan bases all over the Fruited Plain who are saying, why can't we get a quarterback? Just prepare a quarterback. It ain't just Clemson, but Clemson's in there. Just get one quarterback ready to play. And here is Lane Kiffin with a five-star and Austin Simmons and a Ferris State transfer from the D2 ranks, and they're both prepared, period, every week.
And this is the backup quarterback that is out playing the majority of quarterbacks in the nation right now.
Austin Simmons so far this year, 56 pass attempts, completing 61% for 580 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, average of 10.4 yards per attempt. Trinidad Chambliss, 101 pass attempts, completing 64.4% of his passes, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, 10.2 yards per attempt. 2 quarterbacks averaging over 10 yards per attempt.
I think he has 1 interception, and that was Saturday.
That's it.
And he also gives you something on the ground too. Oh man, when he decided to pull the ball against LSU, it was just perfect timing.
Oh, didn't he have 70 yards? I think it was like 70, 71, 72 yards, something like that. And they were all graceful. You know, like he wasn't getting a ton
71 yards on 14 carries.
here's another fun one for Kiffin, okay? Now, when this game started, I picked LSU, and I felt good about it. And the reason is because Ole Miss came immediately out, and they went three and out, three and out. They had 0 yards in their first two drives.
I just thought when Ole Miss plays a quality team, they're not going to look good.
That's right.
They're going to turn back into the pumpkin. That's really what truly what I thought was going to happen this weekend.
Here is what they did after those first two drives. And I'm just looking at plays here, okay? 18, 7, 5, 5, 9, 6, 7, 11, 11. In some ways, they did what LSU did to Clemson. They just stayed on the field forever. And they ran a million plays. Similar to the Alabama-Georgia game. You look up at the end, LSU, we're talking about LSU's offense. They've run 56 plays. Ole Miss has run 84 plays in a game for 480 yards. They outgained LSU by 226 yards in the game. They had 300 passing and 166 rushing. And again, they also had 109 in penalties, which kept LSU around. This was a heavily penalized game. But my goodness, man, the way Ole Miss adjusted after those first two series, very impressive. And I did think that there were times where things looked a little like maybe they're playing a backup quarterback. But to your point, you made the point, like, Chambliss looks like he's in control back there. You know, he might miss a throw every now and then, but he looks like he's in control. He makes good choices when to pull the ball down and run. This is not some first-year guy. Like, he played at Ferris State. So, he's not learning on the fly like some other guys maybe are. Side note, I said we're one foot out on LSU. Like, Texter said, Nussmeier's clearly injured. I mean, I do think their defense held Ole Miss to 24. They just had a hard time getting off the field before they got, you know, to midfield or whatever. They couldn't win the field position battle.
Yeah. I mean, Nussmeier, he's reportedly battling a couple of different injuries, nagging kind of things. But at the same time, that doesn't explain everything that's going on with LSU either.
Well, how many times has he been? He's been sacked 7 times this year. It's not like he's getting beat to death back there. In 5 games, he's been sacked 7 times. Now, that doesn't mean that's not all you're getting hit, but he just doesn't take that many hits. Maybe he is injured. I think their O-line is kind of a mess. I think their receivers may be more like what they were where they were, rather than put them in the LSU offense and let them go. It's interesting. Those are two teams that to me are almost in opposite positions from where I thought that they would be. You know, because LSU, what you just said about Ole Miss, the bent we have toward Ole Miss, don't we have to kind of start saying that about LSU? If Clemson doesn't play better, then now we're starting to go, okay, well, LSU against real teams. You know, Florida can't score on air. So is it that impressive what LSU did to Florida? You're starting to answer some of those or ask some of those questions. Any other games? I've got a couple more. Any other games that we haven't hit yet that caught your attention, that caught your eye this weekend?
You know, we briefly mentioned Tennessee at Mississippi State, another overtime game. And it did feel to me like Tennessee was the better team the whole game, but Mississippi State just stuck around. I was impressed. They rushed for almost 200 yards. I think Mississippi State is a vastly improved team that still might miss a bowl. You know? Well, they're going to get bowl. They've already got 4 wins, but still. I thought they were better than their record last year, honestly. But that was – I didn't really know what to make of that. I mean, this is on one hand, this is a Tennessee team that really should have beat Georgia last week. And then you could argue they should have lost to Mississippi State this week. I don't know what to make of that. I know that was an entertaining game, and that was right there in that window where you just had so many awesome things happening all at once. The other one was Auburn at Texas A&M for – A&M just to shut Auburn's offense down when it finally feels like it's getting going. I don't know. I got to take notice of A&M now.
A&M did a really good job defensively. The only way Auburn scored is for some reason, was it a 3rd-and-1? They decide to throw the ball, and it ends up Auburn ends up taking it back to like the 3. For no reason at all, they start chucking the ball. I really like Colin Klein. I didn't understand. I think it was a 3rd-and-short that they decided to do. Maybe it was an RPO or something built in. I don't know. I do think A&M is formidable. I still think their offense is kind of like they've got a low ceiling on their offense. Now, here's the thing about A&M, though. You start looking at manageable schedules down the stretch, or at least to put yourself in position, okay? Their next 3 games are Mississippi State, Florida, and at Arkansas. Is Texas A&M going to be 7-0 when they go to LSU?
Ooh.
So, like, I mean, their last 5 games, they have to go 2 LSU, 2 Missouri, and 2 Texas. So they're not going 12-0.
They're certainly going to be favored in these next 3.
The way they play defense, I think they're very much alive to be a 7-0 football team heading to LSU. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure I'm picking anybody to win at LSU. But if there is a formula for a team to go win there, it would be a team that can hold LSU to 14 points or 13 points or 10 points, which LSU's not scoring much more than 20 these days against anybody. That might not even be that hard this year. Texter asks, why is Arkansas allowing the interim coach Petrino to clean house? He's fired a lot of people. I have some thoughts on this, actually, when we come back. Old Bob is doing it again. Final segment of the program is next.
Cigars, cigars, cigars. Tobacco Plus in Greer is home to South Carolina's largest humidor, featuring the finest selection of premium hand-rolled cigars in the state, and at the very best prices, too. And select a smooth, delicious Monte Cristo, Rocky Patel or Cohiba, and relax on your golf outing. Swing by Tobacco Plus in Greer, South Carolina's number one cigar store, located at Exit 60 off Interstate 85. Also serving Georgia and North Carolina with nationwide shipping.
Everyone knows nothing goes better with football than Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca remain your reliable source for game day food. Get your trays, nuggets, minis, strips, and more. Herb, class of 82, and Carol, class of 84, know the importance of football and great food, so get on the Chick-fil-A app or call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 864-886-9080 to make sure you're all set to eat what you love during the big game.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things? Or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at BLOCHAVEN.com.
Estes Heating and Air is here to keep your family cool in the summer and warm in the winter with premium Heil units, supercharged with 100 years of superior engineering and quality manufacturing. Estes is Clemson alumni owned and celebrating 26 years of serving Tiger fans across Oconee, Pickens, and Greater Greenville. Be sure to like their Facebook page for giveaways, promotions, and specials. That's ESTES Heating and Air on Facebook to win prizes and receive specials on HVAC services and installs to keep your family comfortable all year long with Heil units. Depend on them.
At Toyota of Easley, it's the Clear the Lot sales event going on now. All 2025 models must go before the 2026 models arrive. Now is the time to get your best deal with great rates and discounts on all remaining 2025 Toyota Camrys, Corollas, or RAV4s. Hurry in to get the best selection of colors and amenities. Visit toyotaofeasley.com and pick out the vehicle you want. Then call to make an appointment or visit us at 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway and experience exceptional customer service for your new ride home.
When there is a bad storm and your power goes out, will you be prepared? With a Generac whole home generator, you can be assured that you will have power when no one else does. At Davis Services, we can provide you with the peace of mind so you will not be in the dark. You will stay warm or cool and your food will not perish. Take advantage of the 500 instant Davis rebate towards the purchase of a 2224 kilowatt Generac whole home generator. And now get 7-year parts warranty when purchased before September 5th. Call 864-702-3512 today.
The Roar, the only place in the upstate where you can get 13 hours of live and local sports talk daily. Oh, believe me, we've checked. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Sing my share of broken halos, broken wings that used to fly. They've all gone.
All right, final segment of the program. Thanks for joining us. You know, a texter asked about Bobby Petrino at Arkansas. Have you seen what they've done today?
I have not.
The whole defensive staff is out.
The last one I saw was the coordinator.
Apparently it's everybody. It is Travis Williams, Deke Adams, Marcus Woodson. Let me see. And, yeah, so it's three. It's not everybody, but it's three of on the defensive staff. This is not a typical interim situation, okay? This is an interim situation where Bob wants the job, okay? And you would have to be living under a rock to think that there are not money people that would give it to Bob, okay? Bobby Petrino wants this job, and there are some Arkansas folks who want him to have it. So he's going to have a little more leeway than some other interims to just sort of do whatever it is that needs to be done there. Do you think that they would take – I mean, he was at Arkansas 4 years. He went 34-17. They won double-digit games in 2010 and 2011. And we know that everywhere he goes turns to ash immediately after he leaves. Ask Louisville and ask Arkansas. And West Kentucky somewhere. Just ask those places what happens when he leaves. It's going to turn into a trash heap. We know that. But on the journey, pretty good. Pretty good there. I think this is a weird situation. I just think it's a weird situation. I don't know what else you do. We talked about this. We were on the same page. When they hire Petrino in the first place, it's like when you hire the ex-manager, the embattled MLB manager hires the ex-manager as his bench coach in the offseason. That's just the organization giving themselves an off-ramp from you. This felt like the off-ramp. This was always going to be the off-ramp from Sam Pittman.
Do you think they're going to hire him full-time?
No. But I think there's a 30% chance that they do.
I think the chance might be higher than that because they like him there. And if you bring somebody else in, chances are you're going to lose him.
Yep.
I mean, Rhett Lashley is apparently the hot name at Arkansas and Oklahoma State. So it's a race to Lashley. I saw Fran Brown's name listed at both schools.
Fran Brown?
Especially at Arkansas, yeah.
Why would Fran Brown go there?
They like, the Georgia connection, the SEC connection, defensive-minded coach. I don't know. I don't know that Fran Brown goes to Arkansas, but I'm just – those are two names that are circulating.
I think if Rhett Lashley leaves SMU – I don't think you leave SMU for Oklahoma State. I think you might for Arkansas, especially he's an alum there.
I don't blame – yeah, exactly. I don't blame either school for – mentioning those guys, but I'm sort of like Fran Brown is probably going to have several opportunities better than either of those schools.
Wouldn't Fran Brown?
Of course, you probably need to score a touchdown against Duke, but that's.
I mean, that's true. His first handpicked quarterback of his two handpicked quarterbacks this year did not look good. Isn't Fran Brown? I'm not saying he's the first choice, but wouldn't he be really good at Florida? Like, you give Fran Brown Florida.
Oh, man.
You think that'd be a good... I mean, they might be able to do better. But I think it could work. Would he not out-recruit Norvell? I mean, I think he very clearly would be out-recruiting Norvell in the state. He's already recruited the Southeast great.
He's an intriguing name. Another name at Arkansas? And I had to cross-check this. Deion Sanders.
Oh, man.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger.
Are we serious right now? That would be a Jerry Jones hire. That would be if Jerry gets involved, if Jerry's money gets involved in this, that's all that is. They're not going to a bowl. Colorado's not going to a bowl this year. I'm going to tell you that right now. Why would you hire a guy for your program that probably shouldn't be going to bowls all the time that can't get Colorado to bowls all the time? I mean, maybe it's a little harsh, but I don't think it's that harsh. They were competitive against BYU. They lost by a field goal.
More resources at Arkansas, easier to recruit to. You're starting off with a better base than you did at Colorado. I mean, that it doesn't seem like a fit at all.
No.
But then again, I didn't think Colorado was a fit either. And, you know, ultimately it's about wins and losses. But there's so much that Deion has done for that school. I mean, the fact that we even know that Colorado has a football team now. I mean, I'm being serious. I don't know. Anyway, there's plenty of time to talk about coaching candidates.
Can I give you one more name I thought of?
All these midseason guys, firings, though, are just Napier's got to be puckered up every time the phone rings.
You know, he's got a lot of options. If he does get fired, there's options out there if he wants to keep coaching. What about Brett Bielema? If we're just going with the people I know, isn't Brett Bielema preferable to what they're doing right now? And he's got a lot. This is like the culminating year for Illinois. What if he thinks this is as far as I'm taking Illinois? This is as far as it goes right here. And I can go back to Arkansas and do the exact same thing at Arkansas.
Yeah. You know, there's other names out there. Like Jimbo's talking about wanting to get back into coaching. Dan Mullen certainly is going to try to move. Like, I could see Oklahoma State going something like that.
Going Mullen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that too. You were talking about the early coaching firings. I have a theory on this, and I don't know that it's true.
By the way, not endorsing any of these guys.
Just throw it out there.
Let me make that crystal clear. Not endorsing any of these names.
I think this is to get ahead of the portal. Because if you wait till the end.
That's interesting.
You have the mass exodus of people in the portal. It's they're gone. Okay, gone.
And you know the talks have already begun.
Right. So you'd rather just know who's not coming back. So you have, when your coach is fired, you have 30 days to get in the portal, okay? The portal window opens up for you. So you actually, the interim coach could give you a pretty good gauge of who's going in and who's not. Who's going to self-redshirt and who's not. Give guys a chance to go so you can get the money together, which that's another part too. The way the system works right now, which, I mean, I can't believe we're still doing this. You got to pass the hat to get buyout money, and then you have to pass the hat to get NIL money, and you for sure don't want to be dipping into your collective to be paying buyouts. So this makes for two very clean processes. If I know I'm going to do that anyway, I might as well go ahead and get it done, get that money accounted for, and then I got to go back to the full wallets. I got to go back to the heavy hitters come NIL season when I got to build a team out of the portal. I'm going to need their money again. But asking them for money 2X at the same time for buyout money and for NIL money might be a bridge too far for some people. I think that's what's going on here. I don't know that. I think that may be happening.
The portal angle makes some sense to me.
Let's go to Scott in Greenville, who's up with us next. What's up, Scott?
Clark, if I'm Arkansas, it's a lot cheaper to keep Petrino because it's only a Harley, a blonde, some sunglasses, and a cigarette.
And that's you checked all the boxes.
That's it. But and if it's you know, all the players want Deion though, because then all the average quarterbacks can get their name on the stadium.
That's true. Two retired jerseys, one ranked win. Deion Sanders.
Yep. It just means more in the SEC. That's what they're going to go do. But, Carl, congrats. I couldn't go through. I hadn't called anybody all day. I want to congratulate you on your Reds making the playoffs.
Thank you.
And baseball season is officially over for us Braves fans. It's been over for a few months, but it's official now.
Can I ask you this? Can I ask you this? Are you feeling good about the Braves September? Like, what are we supposed to do with this?
No, that's what scares me with AA. AA is going to think you don't have to do anything.
Isn't that the scare? I think Snicker's coming back, Scott. He's not saying whether he's going to retire. They're not going to fire him, and he's not saying if he's going to retire or not. And my guy got thrown out the other night. Oh, yeah. My guy got freaking tossed the other night defending Matt Olson, and I thought, oh, look at the energy and the verve in this guy. This is a youngster trying to manage here.
Yeah, but Matt Olson got thrown out too. He never said anything. So I don't know how much stock you can put into that for Snicker. But it's what a crazy play too. I've seen that replay over and over and over, and the catcher is at fault there, man. Use some common sense when you're making these plays.
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you this. If you thought that baseball didn't have flopping, go and watch that play. That's the biggest flop I've ever seen. It's a horrible flop, too. I can't believe it worked. It was a horrible flop. The catcher runs into Olsen, and then like 2.5 seconds later, oh, he flails his body back. It was the worst flop ever, and it worked.
Yep. And it was almost like you could see him thinking about, okay, what can I do here? All right, I'm going to run into Olsen, you know. And just, it's like he played it all out in his face when you're watching him do it. But anyway, just a... But I hope we make a few changes. I don't think we need to do anything extra. We got to do something with the pitching staff.
Jesse Chavez is available.
Jeez, man. And I'm glad Charlie's retiring. Thank you for a good career. I think they sent him out the right way. I think it went well. But just move on. Let's move on. Quit regurgitating these players. But we got to do something with Kim at short. I think if we re-sign him, I'd offer him a 2-year, $36 million or something like that, see if he'll take it. And kind of shore that position up. Nick Allen would be a great backup to him. But anyway, AA's got some decisions to make, and hopefully he makes the right ones. We can get back in the playoffs next year because everybody's already talking. We're going to win the ring again next year, and it's like we did all that this year. So, my sports teams need to quit talking about winning rings. Dabo did it all offseason, and Clemson sucks. The Braves did it. They suck. Dallas has been doing it. And I can't believe we tied Green Bay, but we still
Eric won. Backett said they're not talking about it. So there you go.
They don't. Yeah, I wish the baseball team take Omaha off their hats and just go do it. But that's not my decision. Real quick, are we still a 13.5-point favorite this weekend?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Holy mackerel. How?
Have you watched North Carolina?
Have you
That's how.
We might not score 13.5 points.
Listen.
How can you be a 13.5 point favorite if you can't score that many points?
Like I said, have you seen North Carolina? I mean,
yeah, I know. But
that is some fertile soil right there.
Yeah, I'm sad when the best thing at this football game is going to be Belichick's girlfriend.
Well, it depends.
Hottest thing at the game.
I don't know, man. Well, Scott, appreciate the phone call.
I think the funnier part of that line is the point total is 46.5. To me, that's more laughable than 13.5.
All right, 46.5. What does Vegas think this score is going to be? They think it's going to be like 30-16.
Yeah.
30-16. 30-17, something like that.
27-13 seems like a stretch. And you're nowhere near 46.5.
Are you going south in a non-Big Ten or Service Academy game of mid-40s? Is that what we're hearing, Ben Milstead?
I mean, we're in, like, Iowa territory now.
Speaking of that, how about Fernando Mendoza just being like, yeah, I know, my bad, when he takes the safety and the people who had Indiana -6.5 don't cash, he's like, sorry. My bad. And the thing is, the clock right now, he could have fallen at the 5.
Yeah, he didn't have to even run through the end zone.
But, doggone, if he falls at the 5 and there's 1 second left, though, or there's a flag somewhere, no way. No, you can't risk that. You cannot risk that. I thought that was hilarious, though. Very self-aware, Fernando Mendoza. And also in the state of Iowa, who's had their own betting issues. So, you know, there's a lot of college students in Iowa, apparently, who are using their parents' information or older siblings' information to set up accounts there.
He just mentioned Packers-Cowboys tying last night. I know some people like the tie. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. And the Packers were so much better than the Cowboys, and they let them back in it. You play to determine a winner. We all lost last night.
I had a hard time with that game last night. I did. Although, like I said, I really was – at one point, I was just rooting for my underdog play. I just needed an Aubrey field goal.
It's all about you, Quad.
I knew the only way – like midway through the third, I'm like, the only way I'm getting a field goal, because they're not stopping each other, the only way I'm getting a field goal is overtime. We got to get there. Sure enough, we got there. All right, tomorrow – boy, we got some love for ties.
We got love the tie, screw the tie. Back-to-back text.
That's right. We're going to talk about ties on Tiger Tuesday tomorrow. God bless. Waltz up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg.